what you've written to us, what you have said to us, God, your amazing wisdom and direction poured out, God, so that we could live victorious lives. So God, today as we open it, I pray you'd give us revelation, understanding, discernment, wisdom, whatever our heart needs today, God, we are prepared to receive. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Well, we started our new series called Hashtag Authenticity last week with Pastor D kicking it off while Dodie and I were out celebrating my birthday and our anniversary. I heard it was awesome, so praise the Lord. I'll try to follow in those footsteps today. Authenticity, we came up with a definition and we didn't invent it. We just looked up what authenticity meant. And so I want to put that on the screen for you right now. It means having an origin supported by unquestionable evidence representing one's true nature or beliefs. In other words, what that basically is saying is that the action supports the belief and the belief supports the action. It is genuine through and through. It is authentic through and through. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about hashtag me or authentic me, discovering the real me, who I really am. And we'll talk about that in great detail, and I hope you can make it to all of these, but make it to that one because you're going to discover who you really are. A lot of times we're living fake lives, and we're not authentic in anything that we do. We're just kind of figuring it out as we go along. But who really am I, and what has God genuinely really called me to do in this life? And discovering that is the best thing you can do. So we'll talk about that more in detail. But you hear people say things like, you know, hey, he's just who he is. When you see him, that's who he is. He never changes. He's the same. And that can be good. But what if who he is bad? what if who that person is? Well, she's a genuine sinner. That is for sure. I mean, authentic through and through. I mean, that wouldn't necessarily be good. But what is it authentic? What does authenticity really mean? How can we be genuine? When you know the origin of something, in other words, when you know what it's really supposed to be, now you can look at it and you can look at the parts and discover, is it genuinely what it is supposed to be? When you know what a genuine Gucci purse is, you'll be able to tell whether the other Gucci purse is fake. When you genuinely know that what a true Christian is supposed to look like, you will genuinely know whether someone is being that or not. When you know what a real Rolex, come on, anybody got a real Rolex up in here? When you know what a real Rolex looks like, oh boy, you could put a fake to it, you'll know it right away. But if you don't know what a genuine Rolex looks like, someone could sell you one, and you go, wow, I got a Rolex. But if you don't really know what a real one looks like, you don't know that you've got the fake one. I mean, how many ladies have purses that look like Louis Vuittons, but they're not? They're designed to look like one, but it's not really one. But if you don't know what a real one looks like, you think you got a real one because it's not real. It's not authentic. And what I want to talk about today is, what is authentic faith? What is genuine, authentic faith? And I went to the King James Version because I love the word unfeigned. It's a word that you don't hear out there anymore. Unfeigned faith. I read a book many, many years ago called Unfeigned Faith. I don't have it anymore, but it talked about what is genuine. What is unfeigned means not fake. It means it's genuine. It means it's real through and through. 2 Timothy, go with me there. And if you're quick, you can open your Bible to the book of James chapter 2. But let's start this off today with 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to read it out of the King James Version because it used the word unfeigned. And that's the word I liked. And the Apostle Paul is talking to his young protege, Timothy, who he's training in the faith to be what God had called him to be. And he says, I'm called to remembrance when I think about you, when I see you. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, which means genuine, sincere, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. I am persuaded that it's in you. You know why? Because I see how you live your life. I see the marks. I see the words. I see the similarities. I see the genuineness that's inside there. And then he's going to go on and he's going to say, Timothy, you got to remember that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, and he has given you love and sound mind. He has not created you to be that. So remember, Timothy, what came on you when I laid my hands on you, and let that fire, because when I look at you, I'm reminded of the genuineness that is inside of you, the authenticity. And he's talking about his faith. He's talking about who he is, because he compares him. He says, I remember your grandmother, and you look just like her. I remember your mother, and man, you are following in her footsteps. And those two women were amazing women of faith. And Timothy, I see it in you too. I see this authentic, genuine faith in you, and I want to call it out of you. And I think that what I want to do today is to try to call out of you the authentic person that you are. I want to call out of you the authentic faith that is inside of you. And let's bring it forward. Come on, let's be genuine through and through. Let's not just be Christian on the outside, but let's be Christian on the inside. Come on, let's be Gucci through and through. Come on, somebody, amen. So what he's saying, I saw the original in your grandma, I saw the original in your mom, and I see the original in you. How do you learn the difference? I was watching some videos about purses and watches and the other day because I was killing some time, and somebody gave me a very nice watch for my birthday, and I appreciated it. And so I remember that... So I went online to see, here's this particular watch, and how do you tell the difference between whether it's real or fake? I want to know whether you guys gave me a real watch or a fake one. So anyway, it was kind of fun, and it's like, I wouldn't even know. How do you tell the difference? Sometimes there's just the subtle differences. Sometimes it just sticks out. It's so glaring that once you know the real one, it just sticks out. And sometimes the only way, it's like, you know, everybody looks like with a $20 bill now. You give them a $20 bill at the store, whether you use some like magic marker on it or something to see what it will do or won't do. Why? Because they want to know whether what you gave me is real. And every year, the $100 bill changes because somebody figured out how to counterfeit it. So every year, they put a different strip in it or a different line in it. Why? Because they want to know they're getting the real thing. You know, a thing that I've learned all throughout my life, but I think can be true more now than ever, is anybody telling the truth? Is anybody genuine? Is anybody authentic? Is anybody truly, you know, working on our behalf? Or is everybody only really working on their own behalf? It's a big question out there. And I think that what people really want are people of genuine faith. Come on, amen. Genuine faith. Genuine, authentic faith. Genuine people. And what does that look like? So I'm going to take you in your Bible to James chapter 2, because sometimes the only way to point out what is genuine is to point out what is fake. Point out what is genuine is to first point out what is fake. And in James chapter 2, James takes us through a few verses where he's telling us about what authentic faith is. Now, I'm not addressing the issues of whether or not you have the faith that can heal or the faith that can do miracles. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what James is talking about. What is a genuine, authentic Christian look like? What is genuine, authentic faith? What does it mean to have the kind of faith that is real? The kind of faith, it's not a perfect thing, but what does the Bible talk to us about it? And so what James does is when he writes it, he gives us some examples through rhetorical type questions. In other words, a rhetorical question is designed to pull information out of you. It's not just designed to ask you a question. So someone will say, you will ask someone a question. You'll say, for example, what is faith to you? And then a person might go, well, let me ask you a question in order to ask that question. What is faith not to you? It pulls out a response. It's a rhetorical question. It's designed to pull an answer out of you. And this is how James addresses the issue of what authentic faith is. What is genuine faith? James chapter 2, watch this, beginning with verse 14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters," that's us here in this room today, those listening online, "what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds?" In other words, but they don't do anything with it. "Can such faith save him?" Now, we're not talking about saving faith. We know that you're saved by grace, not by works. So that's a different subject, but just stay with it. It says, "Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister," and here's the question, here's a rhetorical question. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And so the first thing I want to pull out of this is that fake faith, feigned faith, not genuine faith, lacks compassion. It lacks compassion. If you genuinely have authentic faith in God, you're going to be compassionate. You're not going to lack compassion. You're not going to see someone in need and go, "Oh, bummer, what'd you do to create that problem for yourself?" See, that's not genuine faith. That's not compassionate. James is telling us that if you really want to have real faith, what good is it to say, "I am a person of faith," but you're not compassionate in return to people? But you're not giving in return to people, that when you see someone in need. Now I want to clarify something here, because James is writing to the church here. He said, when you see a brother or sister, that means a fellow believer. That means that we should be caring for each other. Amen. It means that we should be reaching out to each other. It means that when we see each other in need, now I might not be able to pay your rent. I mean, I might not be able to, but come on, somebody, if you need help, don't suffer in silence. Put it on a prayer request and let the believers love each other. Amen. Let us have compassion for each other. Amen. That's what God has got. That's genuine faith. Genuine faith isn't just about what I say. Genuine faith isn't expressed when I come to church. Now, remember, I've said lots of times that coming to church is not serving God. Coming to church is where you learn how to serve God. Coming to church is where you learn what Scripture teaches so that we can go out there and be authentic Christians. So that we can go out there and live authentic faith. Come on, hashtag. Amen. I don't know what you do with that, but do something with that. Take a picture of it, right? Come up after the service, stand in front of here, get a picture. Come on, authentic faith is compassionate. But fake faith just says, "I'm a Christian, go about my business, and I see needs in the world. I do nothing about them. I turn off the TV because I don't want to feel guilty." Amen. "I don't want to watch those kids' things, man. I feel like, you know what? How about you pull out your checkbook, write a check for $5, and make a difference in the world?" Come on, somebody. And so, that's what genuine faith is. The phony Christian sees someone's needs and they have no compassion. Let me take you to a verse. You can stay in James, but sidetrack to 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 3. Because what people do is they usually just mutter a few words here and there and then never really do anything about it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says this. Says, if anyone, I don't think God could put it any clearer. It says, if anyone has material possessions. Stop right there for a second. That does not mean you're wealthy. A lot of people, when we look at verses like this, we go, yeah, man, I ain't got a lot of material possessions myself. We're kind of hanging in there ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're not hanging there. You are blessed because God is meeting every one of your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Come on, look at what you got and say, this is what I once prayed for. Come on, church, how easily do we forget that what we have is what we once prayed for? And then we become more greedy and we pray for more. And we complain about what we have, but what you have is what you once prayed for. So stop complaining and start praising, because you are where you once prayed to be. It doesn't mean we don't believe God for above and beyond. Come on, that's our verse, right? Ephesians 3:20. That we are believing God for exceedingly abundantly above all that we are currently asking or imagining. What you have now is what you once prayed for. So get your gratitude back. But he says this. He says, if anyone has material possessions, that's you, and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Come on, amen? If we're going to talk about what authentic faith is, then let's dig into Scripture and let's find out what authentic faith is. The mayor's department talked with us a couple months ago. And I can't go into a lot of great detail, but he wanted to set up, and we did. We have a meeting set up with the sheriff's department is going to come and speak to some of us pastors. And they want to talk to us about the homeless situation in Rancho Cucamonga. Now, I can't go into all the details, but I kind of know where this meeting is going to go. But I can tell you that no matter what anybody says, we are not going to stop reaching those who have needs. Come on, somebody. We are not going to stop reaching out to people who are hurting. We are going to love people because we love God. Can everybody say amen? And so he says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. That's authenticity. You want to know what it means, amen, come on, to be an authentic Christian? It's going to make you uncomfortable at times, but it will cause you to understand what it means to live, not just speak. To act, amen, not just say something. Works aren't worth anything unless they're preceded by faith. I don't go out and do good for people because I think that doing good for people is going to somehow get me some reward. I go out and do good for people because I have faith in God, and God tells me to reach out to those who have needs. So my faith is what causes me to take action. But my action also shows I have faith. So what good does it do to say I've got authentic faith, but I don't do anything with it? Then it's not genuinely authentic, is it? It's not genuinely authentic to say we have faith, but we don't have compassion for those who are hurting. Because not only does genuine faith laugh. I was going to skip this, but let's not do this. Go with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Because here's where it shows that your authenticity needs to come from your heart. There's a story in Acts chapter 5. Well, it's not a story. It's documenting what the church did in the early church. The church came together and they basically sold everything, right? Because everybody had a little bit, but some people didn't have much. But the new church was starting, and so they kind of all got together. They sold everything. They put it in a big pot. They trusted the leaders of the church to divvy it out, you know, as is needed. And of course they did. And it caused us, everybody, to work together and be in one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, all these things. And so this married couple decides, you didn't have to, by the way, it wasn't mandatory, but they decided, you know what, we're going to sell our stuff too. And we're going to be a part of this amazing thing called the church. And so in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira decided, we want to get in on this. We genuinely want to be authentic, and so we'll sell our stuff too. In verse 1, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. In other words, they didn't just give everything up. They just said, hey, you know what, we'll make this donation as well. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Okay, well, that's good, right? That's good, right? I mean, he brought something. He didn't bring everything he said he would bring, but at least he brought something. Amen? Come on, that's good. So watch this. Then Peter said, because he knew he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself some of the money that you received from the land or for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? In other words, listen, nobody made you do this. I mean, it was yours anyway, but you decided that you were going to sell it. You decided that you were going to tithe. And so he says, and after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Nobody made you do it, Ananias. Let's keep this in mind. What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down dead. In this passage of Scripture, it says a few verses later that they brought his wife in, Ananias, and she also admitted to lying, and she fell down dead. What's the moral of the story? Tithe or die. I mean, sorry, tithe or die. Some of y'all might die before we leave here. We better call the paramedics right now. Come on, I'm just teasing. But there is a truth to what Scripture is telling us. It's giving this example to say that a genuine faith is one that does what it says it will do. A genuine faith is one that will obey God no matter how difficult it might be, no matter what the challenges may be. Authentic faith says, I obey God. And when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I think that's amazing because it really is about compassion. It's really about compassion. It's really about saying that my faith lives itself out because it's willing to help others, because it's willing to be compassionate. And then he goes on like this in verse 18. He says, but someone will say, if we're back in James, by the way, go back to James chapter 2. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder in fear. Even the demons believe that. So what is genuine? What is fake faith? Fake faith lacks conviction. It lacks a conviction. It lacks a conviction about who God really is, about what you really believe. There's a lack of conviction in the Word of God. Somebody will say, well, you have faith. Great. Well, I have works. So who's the better one? He says, so you show me your faith without deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, because you can't. He says, but I will show you my faith by my deeds. I will show you that I have faith by what I do with my faith. I'll show you that I am hashtag authentic in who I am, not by what I say, but by what I do. Come on, amen. That's what really matters. It's not what we say, it's what we do. That's what shows whether we're authentic. That's what shows whether we're trustworthy. That's what shows whether or not we can be trusted. That's how come sometimes you hear someone say, oh, yeah, I'll be there. And you know in your heart they won't be there. Because they've said that 1,000 times before and they were never there. So what makes me believe you're telling the truth this time? And so why? Because you kind of just know that their words don't really mean much. You know what? We show our words carry weight when we follow up on them. We show our faith by what we do, not just by what we say. Come on, can anybody say amen out there? A genuine faith does not lack conviction. There are those who have, you know, a general faith. They say, well, I believe there's a higher power up there. I believe there's a God. Yeah, I believe that all roads lead to heaven. Well, you know what? That is such a lack of conviction in anything. But guess what? Even the demons believe there's a God. So what good is that? If even the demons believe there's a God, and they fear and they shudder in fear because they know hell is coming their way. They know the end. Church, I don't think any of us should shudder in fear that God is going to get me. But I think there needs to be at least a little bit of conviction in our hearts that says, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. There's got to be some conviction in us that says, if God says I should do this, then I'm going to do that because I don't want to have the consequences of disobedience to God. Amen. So genuine faith, you have a conviction. There's a compassion for others, but there's also a conviction in your heart about the Word of God. And I believe it, and I'm going to live it, and I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect. But we don't use I'm not perfect as an excuse to not get better. We don't use I'm not perfect as an excuse to not still press in to be better, to change, to be what God has wanted us to be. Why? That's authentic faith. Authentic faith wants to grow. Authentic faith wants to be better. It wants to accomplish the will of God and the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. The demons shudder because they know what their future is. The person who simply says they believe there's a God is no better than a demon. Because even the demons believe there's a God. And then the third one I want to take you to is in James chapter 2, verse 21, he says, was not. See how he's coming in this whole chapter. He's coming at it from the opposite direction. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that this faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what? By what he did. His faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. Wow. So you're considered to be a person of genuine faith, not by what you say, but by what you do. Not just because you say, I'm a Christian. Not just because you say, I love God. Prove it. Prove it. The proof is in the pudding, someone once said, right? The proof is in the pudding. It's not just saying it. Authenticity is genuine. It's a Rolex through and through. Isn't it amazing how everything, like, you'll go to someone, hey, is that a real Rolex? No, it's just made to look like one. We want the one that's made to look like the real thing, because then we can fake people out. Come on, right? I mean, you see it all the time. You see something, you're like, dang, that person is sharp. Dress, man. Got the Louis Vuitton bag. Now listen, don't get rid of your fake Louis. Wear them proud. But I'm just saying that, you know, you're like, wow, they got a Louis. No, it's fake. Man, they got a Roley. No, it's fake. Oh, they got the right looking shirt. They didn't buy the jeans that way. They tore it that way. So I'm. And so it's like everybody is wanting to look like they're rich, but ain't nobody rich, right? Everybody wants to look like they're rich, but nobody's rich. A lot of people want to look like their life's in order, but it's a wreck behind the scenes. A lot of people want to look like they got everything together, but open the door and put a microphone up to their ear when you're listening what's really going on when the doors are closed. And man, it's about as far from a Christian as you could imagine. We all want to fake it, but we don't want to be real. Why? Because to get the real Rolly is going to cost you $12,000 for one made in 2005. I looked it up. So I'm just saying. Right? So, I mean, but everybody wants to look good, but nobody wants to pay the price to be good. Everybody wants what looks good, but no one wants to actually do what it takes to make it happen. What good is it to say I'm a Christian, but your home is a wreck? That's real. You want to know what's real? You don't want to know what's authentic? I can tell you what's authentic. What's going on at home is what's really going on. And that's where we got to let God come in and do some stuff. That's where our genuine faith, our genuine authentic faith has to say, I know, God, I messed up, but God, I'm inviting you in to fix this thing. I genuinely want to live a godly life. And so I'm going to genuinely invite you in, and I'm going to genuinely do what I need to do. Come on, every one of you have that devotional by the side of your toilet by now. Dust it off and open it up again. Or in your bedroom or in the kitchen. I'm just saying that's where mine's at. Come on, amen. Are you guys doing all right? Because fake faith lacks confidence. Fake faith lacks confidence in who God is. Genuine faith has confidence in God, even though I don't get it, and even though I don't know why you said to me that I would be the father of many nations, and you're asking me to kill the one and only son I have. Doesn't make sense to me, God. So I'm going to say that must be the devil and not God, and I'm, because there is no way you could ask me to do that. There is no way you could ask me to downsize my home to tithe. There's no way God could be saying that. There's no way God could be saying sacrifice the Rolly I've all been saving for all my life so that I can feed the hungry. There's no way God could be saying that. I know nobody in here is saying that, but there's people saying that. Come on, somebody. If we're going to be real, if we're going to be authentic, then we have to have confidence in God, although we may have some sleepless nights. Come on. I have some genuine thoughts inside of me that when Abraham was walking his son, that when Abraham was thinking about that all night long, I'll bet that was a sleepless night. I'll bet it was Abraham saying, God, you really can't mean that. God, you really can't mean that. God, you really can't mean that. But God, if you mean that, we're going to take the walk. But God, if you mean that, we're going to take the walk. And God, if you mean that, we're going to get up on this altar and I'm going to bring the wood and I'm going to bring the matches. But I believe, God, that you're going to do something. And God saw his genuine heart and his genuine faith, and he said, stop. Now I know you really love me. Now I know you're genuine. Now I know you're authentic. And because you're authentic, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Come on, somebody. God wants to make you more than you want to make you sometimes. God wants to do more with you than sometimes you want God to do with you. But if you can be genuine and authentic before God, and sometimes that means genuinely and authentically say, God, I need your help. I've got a problem, and I'm going to admit it so that I can get where you want me to be. Because I have some confidence in who you are. But people with no confidence in who God is look for excuses to get out. Right? Come on, right? I mean, they look for, here's the reason why I can't make it to church. Here's the reason why I don't have time to serve. Here's the reason why I can't afford to give. Here's the reason why we haven't. Here's the reason why we can't. That's all excuses before God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or imagine. Come on, let's authentically come before God. And let's authentically have some confidence in who He is. That His word is true, and when He says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I know it's a bumper sticker saying, but put it on your bumper sticker. Well, put the bumper sticker on your bumper. That's what I meant. But come on, get one of our free Mountain View Church stickers and stick it on your car. Come on, somebody, and wear it proud. I go to Mountain View Church. I'm proud of it. Amen? Now, when you have it on your bumper, don't flip people off at the stop sign. Come on, somebody. Wear it proud. Let me get to the last one here. James chapter 2, verse 25. I'm going to make this real. God gets this so real right now. He's bringing it down to our level. Because a lot of us, when we look at like Abraham and Moses and Paul and James and Timothy, we're like, unreachable, unreachable. That is not true. Every one of them at some point had to start somewhere with faith in God and then let God take them from there. James chapter 2, verse 25 says, in the same way, He puts a prostitute in the same position as Abraham. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute. Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. She just got saved. I mean, she just at this point decided, I'm going to believe the God of Israel over these other guys. I'm going to believe the God. And at that very moment, she decided, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to help these spies because I believe in their God. She had just come to the altar. And God puts her on the same plane as Abraham. Why? Because of what she did. Because of what she did. Because she was willing to do something. She was willing to show her faith in this new God, not just with words, but with deeds, with what she did. And that's what God is calling us to do. To have an authentic faith that isn't just word, but it's how we live. It's a genuine life lived, and none of us are going to be perfect. Dodie and I celebrated, July 7th, 39. Next year, 40 years with the same woman. How did I make it so long with your daughter, mom-in-law? And my mother-in-law's here today, praise the Lord, from North Carolina. And so I will not tell any Dodie jokes today. How did she make it 39 years with me? That's better, right? Check this out. What God is saying is that it's not how long you've been a Christian. It's how long you've let God inside of you living a Christian life. Come on. It's not really about how long you've been married. If 39 of my years have been terrible fights, scrapes, yelling, cussing at each other, what good is making it 39 years? But 39 years... walking it out with God. Walking it out with God, teaching, training, developing, using, doing. Come on, so I'm just saying, God, you, some of us have been a Christian a long, long time in name only. Come on. Let's get real. Let's get authentic. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road about what it means to have genuine, authentic faith. And some of us are Rahab. Some of us are just getting started. But it doesn't mean that you are. Come on, Rahab was not disqualified because she was a prostitute. She wasn't disqualified because of what her past was. She wasn't disqualified about what she was yesterday. She became qualified when she trusted God and began to live her life out by doing good deeds for God. Now, good deeds doesn't get good points. Come on, somebody. You got to get it right. It's not about good deeds, more points with God. I haven't been around. Boy, I got to start doing some stuff. I got to build up some points with God. It's not about points with God. It's about I'm showing my faith in a God who has done so much for me by doing what I do for him in return. It's thanking God but for what he's done, how his grace has changed me, and saying, in the very least I could do is to serve God while I breathe here on this earth. And to show my faith, not by what I say, but to show my faith by what I do. Come on, maybe today for someone it's time to make a new start. It's time to start saying, I'm going to start doing for God. I'm going to start living for God. Come on, I'm going to make time. I'm going to find time. See, a life of faith is one that looks for opportunity to serve. It looks for opportunity. It doesn't say, God, I'm so busy. No, you got, how can I got to find a way. I got to make a way. I got to get something off of my schedule so I can get God onto my schedule. I got to get some things that are pulling me back so I can get onto what God wants me to do. I'm going to have genuine, authentic faith. Here's some genuine faith. When the man brought his son before Jesus, and Jesus said, if you believe, then you can have what you ask for. And the father was genuine. He was genuine and authentic. And he looks at Jesus and he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe, but help that part of me that wonders whether you'll do it for me. Come on, somebody. I know God heals, but will he do it for me? I know that God can, but will he do it in my situation? I know that God is able, but am I worthy? Does he see me as worthy? Rahab could have said, I'm so unworthy of doing anything for God. Let God work it out. But she didn't. She said, I just came to a faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to show him my gratitude by how I live my life from now on. Come on, somebody. It's time that we start showing our gratitude for what God's done for us by how we live our life from now on. Genuine and authentic faith. Not perfect. The man came before Jesus and he said, I got to admit it. I don't always have all the faith I need. That's being honest. But it's also saying, God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Show me. Teach me. Help me to be a person of greater faith. Help me to overcome these weaknesses in my life. I authentically and genuinely, come on, want to be what God wants me to be. So it doesn't mean, or here's what it does mean, I start putting away my excuses. I start putting away my excuses. Well, you know, but in my situation, no, stop it. Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's just, no, wait. Have some confidence in who God is. Have some compassion. Be the kind of person God wants me to be. Why? 2 Corinthians says we live by faith, not by sight. We got to stop living by sight and start living by faith again. We live by faith, not by sight. It's not about what I see God doing. It's about what I know God does. It's about who I know he is. The confidence I have in who I know God is. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not worrying about what I see or don't see. I'm trusting God all the way. I'm going to start being more authentic in my faith. Come on. Here's the definition of faith. I'm going to end with this. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence. Come on. Faith is confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it is the assurance about what we do not see. Come on. Authentic faith is always confident and hopeful and assured that God is going to work it out. That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or imagine according to the work going on inside of me. Can someone say amen? See, the work going on inside of me is saying I'm going to be genuine and authentic. No more about me. It's all about God now. Amen. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Come on, let's be honest here today. Let's be genuine. Let's be authentic. I want you to be completely honest. With yourself before God, who knows your very heart. How many of you, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, would be honest enough to say, I have not been living out the authentic Christian life I know I should? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand right now. Come on, this is where God helped my unbelief. Come on, help my unbelief, God. I know that I can do better. I need to do better. I have to do better. Amen. Go ahead, put those hands down. I want to thank you for your honesty. I didn't take names. I didn't take pictures. I'm just saying that when you are honest, that's when God does something. It's when you're honest. That's where God moves. Why? Because dishonesty holds back. Dishonesty holds back. It's when you're honest that you completely let go. All right, God, here we go. I'm trusting you. I want to have genuine, authentic faith. Come on, pray this prayer with your heads bowed, eyes closed. God, help me to be more compassionate. God, help me to have more conviction about my beliefs. God, help me to be more confident in who you are. The last point I didn't give you, but it's courage. It's about courage. Rahab had the courage to do what was difficult. She could have lost her life, lost her home, but she had the courage to do what she knew was right in the face of opposition. I want to say to you that genuine faith has the courage to do what you know is right, even in the face of opposition. Authentic faith has the courage to take that step of faith because you've got confidence in who your God is. Man, there's power in that right there. That'll change your life. If you have the courage to do what you know God is asking you to do, it'll release the power of God. It'll move on others' behalf. The whole battle was won because of Rahab. Because of her one good deed, the tide was turning. I want to say to you today that prophetically, let me speak prophetically to you today, that the whole course of your life can turn with one act of obedience. The whole course of your life can change the destiny, the future, the course of your children. Everything could shift with one act of courage to take that step to do what you know is right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Come on, stand up with me this morning. You get ready to get out of here in a minute.